These recommended protocols, you notice there is a similar sheet for both cows and heifers. Notice also that they should have a date on the top of them to indicate what the most current time period is. Am I back? Okay. So, protocols for cows and heifers, we're trying to...
Okay.
All right. I'm saying something about protocols. Let's see what this says. All right. So what we want to get to is from applying this protocol in the diagram to cows or heifers in heat and actually getting them inseminated, and the planner is a key tool in doing that. Excel is a component of Microsoft Office. How many of you run something in Excel? Raise your hand for me. Pretty familiar with Excel, so the more familiar you are with Excel, you'll find this program fairly easy to use and operate. To give you just a little bit of history, this was developed originally by Daryl Strobeen at Iowa State in the late 90s. Started out with about 6 protocols in it that he had worked on scheduling into this program. As the task force came together and began trying to consolidate the number of things that were out there, it was in 2004 then when we started working with Iowa State to combine these recommendations into the synchronization planner. Recently did a survey of producers that use the planner and wanted to share with you what they told us about using the synchronization planner. There'll be 2 of these slides, and there's what we call a Likert scale, so they said they either strongly agreed to strongly disagree. And you will see then, if we look from the green on to your left, that a majority of those that had used the planner indicated that it had been easy to use, made the scheduling easier, reduced errors in implementing protocols, and that it helped improve communications with those involved in breeding projects. And I think those are all key things in helping us apply those programs. Okay, they also indicated very strongly that it helped them direct to a more appropriate protocol and helped achieve more timely planning and preparation, and then also looking at a cost-effective protocol. So this is my encouragement to you that people are finding it very useful. When you leave here today, go home, download the program if you haven't, and you'll find it to be a very useful tool. Now, to get the synchronization planner, it's a free download. It's listed in your proceedings on page 155. You can put sync planner into Google, estrus sync plan, something like that. It will take you to this Iowa State website that looks like this. And the key place then from this website is to click on this register site. Now, I want to encourage you to not stop and say, well, I don't want to register for one other thing, because that's kind of what I would say. We don't make you put a password in, okay, that you have to remember. But what we want to make sure to do is contact you when we update the planner. And we will be updating it in 2015, and I think there'll be some nice upgrades that come with that. So we need you to register, essentially put your name and email address in there, so that the next time we update it, you get that email that says, go download a new copy. Okay? So let's just review a few Excel basics, because I found over time that there's some people that are not as familiar with Excel, so we're going to take a few moments to just do that. And there's some additional details in your proceedings that will help you with saving it and some other things like that. But as you may be familiar with, when you first open it up, if it's not over the entire screen, you can make it bigger by clicking on the maximize button. You also have the zoom tab down at the bottom to make the print bigger. I find that I need the print bigger these days. Some of you may have a similar experience. And then a key point then working with Excel is at the bottom are these different navigation tabs that correspond to different worksheets. And it'll open up on this program page, and we will do most of our work on the planner worksheet tab. Now, the spreadsheet, when we get to the worksheet tab, has an option to put some additional information in there. If you're a technician that does a lot of work for others, you might want to save a version that has your name in it and contact information. And so that's when you bring up the base file, that's already in there. But easily then you can customize it for whatever producer that you might be working with. Now, other points that you should be aware of is in Excel you can add comments to sheets. And these little red triangles represent cells that have comments in them. And in this case, it's going to be helpful information on what to fill in for that particular cell. And one of the key things is the time of the day you want to start breeding. And so it explains to you that that's the day you want to do your fixed-time AI, in the case you're using fixed-time AI. Or in other cases, it's going to be the first day that you're willing to start heat detection. Okay, this is our basic portion then of the planner worksheet where we'll do most of our work. And while we're going to spend a fair amount of time today looking at how to use the planner, in order to get some output, we can quickly put the values we want in each of these white cells, and with it, as soon as we can type those in there, we can have some output. So it's really very quick to use. And these white cells represent where we're going to put our key inputs. Now, I want to focus on the day to start breeding at the top. I should mention that we do have, to start out, you need to indicate one or two, which is Bos Indicus or Bos Taurus influence to change the protocols that are available. But then when we put in this day to start breeding, now some people want to think about, well, when am I going to start calving as opposed to when you're breeding. And our 2015 version is going to kind of highlight this output a little bit better and show this expected calving date right over here to the right. So if that's what you key off of course, not every cow reads the exact gestation length book, you know, and there's some variations, so don't think nothing will happen before that. And then the other key points, if we're using we have to choose what type of protocol we want. Do we want to do a little heat detection, no heat detection, or do everything heat detected? And so that's essentially a 1-2-3 choice. And fixed time AI is the number 3 choice, which we have right here. And Dr. Patterson mentioned the importance of this interval between when we remove the cedar or give prostaglandin and when we inseminate. And the key thing this is going to help you do is schedule those time periods so that it's at a workable time for you, when there's daylight, when there's help, whatever those key things are. So when we put in a time of day here with a fixed timed protocol, in this case we have 2:30, and we're using a 6-day cedar protocol, that's system number 36. We see that right down here on the fixed timed heifer systems. We've put the 36 in there. And that 66-hour interval says that if we want to have our average breeding time as 2:30 on the 13th, then that means that we need to pull cedars at 8:30 on the 10th. Okay, so the question is, does that time and those days work for you, and that's a key point to consider. Now, we're zoomed in a little more closely then on this time period and the selecting the system. And here we have system 22 selected, and you'll notice that it's down here in this cow system. If we would put, say, number 4 there, it would show us an error message and say, this isn't on the list. We suggest you look at something else, okay? So there's that help for you. Now, just to get you into the concept, if you're not used to timed insemination and thinking about these intervals, what I have shown here and also in your proceedings is some of our common timed insemination programs, and then the interval between when we would remove the cedar and when we would inseminate, and they're typically in this range of 66 to 72 hours. We have a little shorter interval for heifers. But it just shows you that a typical interval would be to remove a cedar at 2 p.m. and then breed at 8 a.m. to get that 66-hour interval. Okay? And 72 hours is obviously much easier to think about, and it's an a.m. to a.m. time frame. Again, keeping those intervals precise is what we want to aim for. We would suggest that you not synchronize any more animals than what you can inseminate in a 3 to 4 hour time period. So if we are going to have our average insemination time at 8 a.m., we might start at 6 and hope to be done by 10 in order to, again, keep those as tightly grouped as we can. All right, so here we're looking at the 14-day cedar with a 66-hour interval. And if we go to the printout portion of the worksheet now, it will show us then that on Thursday at 2 p.m., we're to inject prostaglandin. Sunday morning then, we would breed those females. And again, this is at a 66-hour interval that it's showing you right here in this printout. So if we change to a different type of system, to let's say we want to just breed observed estrus, that's a number 1, we notice then that these systems change in terms of what's selected there. And I think I have a better illustration of that here. Taking screenshots from those that are heat detection and cleanup AI, here these heifer systems correspond to what we have up here. And notice that we have the recommended systems on the top portion, and they are then some additional systems listed as less preferred. We suggest you operate with things in the recommended protocols for the most part, but there may be occasions where those other protocols are helpful to have in there. We've already programmed them, so we've left them available for you. But most everybody here should probably be working off of that recommended protocol sheet. And so then also for heat detection, only then we see the system change. So it's trying to direct you to those based on your choice of whether you want to heat detect and new cleanup timed AI or strictly fixed timed AI. So typically when I'm running this program, I quickly put in my date and my time, my system, and I come to the calendar tab to see it on a calendar, because sometimes that's the hardest for me to visualize, particularly with the longer 14-day systems, to see how that falls. And an important thing is then to see is, oh, that's hitting the Saturday of so-and-so's wedding. We don't want to try and do anything that day. Or we set this calendar up and we need to make sure that everybody that we need to have on those particular days are there and available. And seeing that on the calendar can be very helpful. If it's not falling right, you simply go back to that worksheet tab, change the information, and come back to the calendar tab. Now, you can do some additional things with the program. It will calculate costs based on the inputs that you give it. It has a default estimate for the amount of labor based on the system, and you can change that. It's a swag, but based on some survey data and what producers told us how long certain things take into a regression equation. So you can change the labor. The feed costs are only associated with those MGA-based protocols. You put in your cost of your products, and you might have additional things that you're using, and you can put those costs in there, user-defined charge. If you're a technician, you might put your arm charge there if that's the way it's going to operate. The system now allows you to compare then three different system costs, and that just shows you that output and comparing the cost from $37 to $48 on a cost per synchronized female basis. Those numbers are too small to do much for us today, but you can get that detail. And then an important thing to think about when you're looking at cost and what type of system is to understand the importance of if I'm going to be doing the heat detecting and I don't see those females in heat, either because they're not in heat or I can't do a good job detecting because it's too hot or they're in trees, whatever it is, that's going to impact my cost and response. And essentially that is illustrated here by looking at the estrus response rate and then your relative fertility and giving you a cost per AI pregnancy. Now, I bet everybody here just about has one of these little devices with them, and what would be really handy is to have this program on a mobile basis, and we now have that available. Cliff Lamb has worked on a group to put that, essentially a new type of app, and then it's a web-based app at estrusync.com. It has most everything in it that the full version does, but you can't do the complete cost comparison, and the calendar you can email to yourself, but it's very handy to use quickly in the field. So the same type of things that we saw, you have the inputs, the number of head comes into play for the cost, day you want to breed, time, so on. Then you select the type of system that you want. And once you highlight that, then you get some additional information that mirrors what's in the major version. And then you get this third screen, which is the output. Again, gives you a cost per synchronized female. And then here's your calendar, schedule events down below that tells you what day to do things. Okay, so very handy tool. Now, if you're, you know, there's some places I go where there's not cell reception, so keep that in mind. If you need to use it in the field, maybe you need to do it by the house before you go out and look at the heifers, you know, something like that. But handy tool. So as we think about implementing synchronization systems, communicating with our entire team is very important. Who's going to be involved? Are they available that day? We want to make sure we get the right thing done on the right day. One of the things I suggest, because a very common problem, even those that are experienced, is we go to pick up the product we want to give today, and we pick up the wrong thing. Once we get our calendar printed out, we can either write on the box or write on, put the calendar on the product, anything to help us get the right thing on the right day. Shouldn't be difficult, but some days simple tasks become difficult. Communicate with the team, plan to minimize those type of errors, and Also, as we're thinking for the bigger picture, the further advance that we can plan this will help us communicate with the bigger team that might be our veterinarian or nutritionist that's helping us get vaccinations given or the nutrition right before we breed these animals. So plan, work with the entire team to improve that. We think the synchronization planner is a good tool to do that. We hope that it doesn't cause any of you to have this type of issue. But if you have any problems with the planner, please holler at myself or Garland. Our contact information is in there. It's a great little tool. Give it a try. Please use it. And with that, I'll wind up and we'll move on to the next speaker.